That's my hot take. That's my hot. I'm not saying it's going to be bad. I just don't think it's going to be groundbreaking. But I didn't think Cruella would be groundbreaking either. And look at me now.
Friend of Cruella.
I fucking love Cruella. That's my movie. Have you seen Cruella?
No.
You should.
I might.
It's good.
I might.
We're really building it up to be something it's not.
I'm not expecting it to be good. But I do want to watch Birdman now.
It's good. I have it on Blu-ray. Have you seen it?
Mm-mm.
We saw it in theaters when it came out. A group of us went, and when it won the Oscar that year, we were all hooting and hollering. We were like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember the year it won the Oscar.
You do?
I do. You know what movie it beat?
No. I don't even know. 2015? 2016?
14 or 15. It was released in 14 for the 15 Oscars, I think.
Something like that. I was living in the dorms.
It beat Boyhood.
Sad. I haven't seen Boyhood, so I wouldn't know anything about that.
I was a little mad about it.
Barrel. I got a burp. Oh, sorry. Tom is like an inch from your bag. Do I need to shoo him away?
Fine.
He's like, I can't touch it, but oh.
It's literally fine.
Well, now he's touching the strap, so. Tom, you menace.
You know I'm going to pet the cat later.
Yeah.
You know I'm going to do it.
Should we start the podcast?
Yeah. Bow, 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 bow. Sorry, I'm going to be doing that all fucking night.
Bell, refill Mr. Franklin's glass, will you?
Now, when you get up there tonight, don't drink too much. Oh, don't worry, I won't.
How about a whiskey and soda?
Less soda than usual, thanks.
And this is wine. To drink.
Just a sip might improve your humor.
Aren't you drinking?
I never drink.
No, I've had a couple. Come on, I'm not drunk.
And an excellent vintage it is, too. But if you're implying that I'm tipsy, sir...
Welcome to Tipsy Terror.
Welcome.
What an enthusiastic return.
Yeah, welcome back.
Welcome to Tipsy Terror. This is a podcast about horror movies and drinking if you want to. My name is Harish.
I'm Sam.
And I'm still hung up on the fact that Boyhood lost the Oscars. I'm Molly.
Look, I'm sure Boyhood's good, but Birdman was good. I remember loving Birdman. I think if I watched it now, I'd be less enthusiastic about it. But maybe. I don't know, because I like that one episode of Always Sunny, so if Birdman also probably still holds up.
Yeah.
They did a Birdman episode?
Yeah, Charlie Work.
That's a... Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's exactly what watching Birdman feels like.
Nice. Oh, I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, literally, it's like the same vibe of the movie.
I know I'm going to love it.
And the jazz, like, the drumming in the background.
I literally know I'm going to love it.
Yeah. The only thing I remember about Birdman is the scene. I remember a few things, but the main thing I remember is the scene where he's walking in his underwear because he gets trapped. That's like the only bit I remember from that movie.
You can't make fun of me for asking this. Did they actually shoot that in one take?
No.
No, not the whole movie.
They did.
No.
It's kind of like 1917 where they did really cuts. Long takes with fake outs.
Mm-hmm.
But if you watch it, you think... Even though there are certain parts where it does cut.
Where it like it just like swoops into like it's fluid, but there are like cuts they go to different scenes.
But it's good. It's fascinating.
I just looked up trivia. The editing only took 2 weeks on Birdman.
That makes sense. Yeah, because the takes are so long.
But enough about men.
We're done with the man moment.
We're done with man moment.
Birdman is a man moment.
What if there was a bird woman moment movie?
Oh
wait. Oh, I cut ahead. Wait, what's our theme? Wait,
there is a bird woman.
We're done with man moments.
Yeah,
we've moved on to. Woman moment.
Whoa, woman moment.
Women be shopping. How many misogynistic things can we say?
When we were texting about the movies earlier today, I was like out walking on my 15, and like as I'm texting about this, I actively thought I'm gonna be really misogynistic for a month or so.
Dude, it's getting less and less ironic for me. I'm joking.
I was already making jokes to myself about the movies we were talking about, and I'm like, I'm about to be a problem.
I'm sorry, women. No, I was talking to some friends, and I was like, just offhand, somebody said something. I'm like, yeah, well, women shouldn't be allowed to make movies.
And they were like,
I was like, no, but not like that. Just in the way that they shouldn't be allowed to do it.
You know that meme? You know that meme where like the kid is trying so hard not to cough that like there's like the vein popping? Yeah. That's me at work trying not to make gay jokes. Because nobody I work with, everyone's straight and I don't know what to do.
Man, I said something almost like, and I didn't realize it until I said it because I wasn't even thinking like that, and it sounded like I was being homophobic.
Really?
And, oh, it was really bad. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I didn't say that. I said this, but also I'm gay, but also I will say something ironically homophobic in the next 3 hours, so be on the lookout for that. And it was just like, it was so awful. I want to clarify, I didn't say anything homophobic. It just, like, if you weren't listening closely, it sounded like I said something. I felt awful because I like was for sure, I'm like, this is it. This is the time I like am talking too fast and I actually say something that somebody. Like, it was like, it has been years in the making at this
point. Is what happens when you just let yourself get all loosey-goosey.
That's basically me. I've like been running unhinged for the past 5 years. No one's at the wheel.
Yep.
And it was bound to happen. I wish I could say I started thinking more carefully. Or I
but
thought,
you have you?
No.
Oh, and that's
so I said so much just now. Welcome back.
And that's a woman.
And speaking of being loosey goosey,
swans.
Yeah.
We watched Black Swan.
Yeah. There was also Molly's segue earlier about what if there was a woman bird person Birdman, which is also this movie.
Whoa, bird moment.
Bird moment. Bird moment. There's a lot of those in this movie.
Yeah.
But if there was ever a movie to really kick off woman moment movies, it's this film. Well, such a woman moment.
It's like woman moment after another, and not plot twist. News alert. Every woman is simultaneously having interconnected but different woman moments.
Exactly.
I think women are crazy.
Oh. Living as one, I can confirm. It do be wild out there. It really do.
That's gotta be tough. That's gotta be real tough.
It's real tough out there, man. But, you know, you cope. Sometimes you hallucinate that you're...
Sometimes.
She-Hulk. Woman moment.
Woman moment.
Or a swan. Or a swan. You have sex with yourself that's also your coworker.
Yeah.
And you're very confused about that.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. You know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just go nuts. Sometimes you just snap.
And
we
people
all go
say
a little crazy sometimes.
And people say good for her.
Not good for her. Girl boss.
Yeah.
She girl bossing.
Girl boss.
She's not girl bossing.
Ooh.
She's getting gaslit, gatekeeped, and girl bossed. She's not the er, she's the E.
She's getting girl boss. I think she's almost a girl boss.
At the end, yeah.
Yeah, she like reclaims her girl boss.
She like kills her farmer self for her girl bossification.
I can't wait to do that.
She's an imposter syndrome girl boss.
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's,
Never mind.
Should we start talking about
I need you to know it's not funny, but I had to say imposter like among us, and then
like
I said it in my head and I wanted to say it out loud so bad. I was like, no, you can't say that, and then I couldn't stop.
And look where we are now, Molly.
Said it anyways.
Sus.
I think,
am I right, guys?
Guys, I think something bad happened. I think something went wrong. I'm getting worse than usual. I was talking to a coworker. I said, am I worse than usual? And she said, yes. something went wrong. Oh no,
imposter moment.
I don't think I'm myself.
Neither did Natalie Woman Portman moment. In this movie. Anyways, so Black Swan.
We watched Black Swan by Darren Aronofsky.
Yeah.
God damn it, Darren Aronofsky.
Have we said the name of the movie? We've been talking.
We said Black Swan.
Darren Aronofsky, you son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch.
I know you've seen Perfect Blue.
I forgot that we had called him out after we watched. I forgot all about that until you started talking about it.
People don't forget.
Molly, Never forget. Shout out Emily Blevins.
I knew it.
Anyways.
Letterboxd segment.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Oh, I got some goodies. Yeah, so I pick reviews from the app Letterboxd, and Sam and Harish have to guess how many stars the review has. Okay, starting out. I relate to Natalie Portman because I, too, take every artistic criticism to an intensely personal level and love jerking off and stabbing myself.
Four.
5 stars. Ooh. The scene where Nina pulls off her cuticle is the scariest scene in the history of cinema and will haunt me forever.
Can't agree. 4.5.
3.5.
5 stars. Not a single outfit Natalie Portman wears this whole movie makes any logical sense, but I want all of them.
Oh, they do.
4.5.
4 stars. Nice job, Sam. This is the one that made me laugh out loud because I also read it in my voice. Not kidding, I am so close to becoming this.
Five stars.
4.5. Which sucks.
How do you write a review like that and not give it 5 stars?
It's because they like had to have a moment of self-reflection, I think. But I read that and I was like,
oh no.
Fair enough. I can never watch Barbie Swan Lake the same way again.
That's true. 3.5.
4.
4.5. Sebastian Stan, if you're ever in San Diego, I welcome you with open arms and open legs and an open mouth.
Why?
People say the foulest things.
3.
It's that Winter Soldier.
3.
4.5.
4 stars. Also, yeah, Sebastian Stan's in this movie. We'll talk about that.
Oh,
later.
God. It's like getting smacked in the face.
Surprise cameo.
When I watched this in theaters, an old lady started coughing her lungs out during the Portman Kunis sex scene.
4.5.
5 stars.
4 stars, but then somebody commented, then I'd hate to see what Mulholland Drive would do.
Oh, no. Oh, speaking of, they're showing Inland Empire at Gateway this weekend, and I kind of want to go.
Can I go on a tangent for a second?
Yeah.
It took me 3 days to watch Inland Empire.
It's like 3 hours long,
it's
right?
It's a 3-hour movie. Yeah. I had to watch it in 1-hour segments, and I don't remember anything.
Great. That sounds great.
It's like I've been mind wiped.
I want to be hypnotized.
Darren Aronofsky watching Perfect Blue. This is so cool, but what if it was horny and gay?
Well, 4.
4.5.
5 stars.
Oh, yeah.
This one made me laugh, too. I got so stressed out watching this. A bunch of M&Ms melted in my hand, and I thought it was blood.
5 stars.
Four and a half stars.
4 stars.
That is so fucking funny.
Come on. I feel like I can connect to this film on a deeper level because I once owned a copy of Dance Dance Revolution for the Wii, and my sister and I were very competitive about it.
4.5.
5 stars. This is my Joker.
It really is.
5 stars.
5 stars.
4.5. Boo. I got one more that also made me laugh. This happened to me once, except I was playing the Rat King and the Nutcracker.
I like to believe that that's actually true. You know that shit happens.
Four and a half.
Four.
Three and a half. This guy sucks.
It's the pain of the memory.
Not kidding. I am so close to becoming this.
I'm so close to becoming the Rat King. Okay.
If somebody... Never mind.
I get it.
Natalie Portman is to Tchaikovsky in this movie the way I am to the 1975's album A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
I heard they're supposed to put out something on the first, right? Is that just a rumor?
I mean, I knew something was coming soon, but I didn't expect the first.
Hearing people throw on the first. That
great timing. I literally, the last 2 days, listened through all of their discography.
Me too. I've been back on a kick,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it sucks.
I've been listening to... Kendrick Lamar again, and yeah. I was like, oh, Damn's one of my favorite albums. And then I looked, I was like, I wonder if he's put anything out recently, and he had put out the new album like the day before, and I was like, oh, okay.
It's amazing how things time out like that.
I was like, weird.
Yeah. But anyways, back to Black Swan.
Sorry.
Black Swan. Yeah. It's about Natalie Portman's character,
Nina.
She's a ballerina. Mm-hmm. And
Nina Ballerina.
The ballerina.
And she's high strung and wants to be perfect.
Yeah.
She's very sheltered.
She's like a child.
Weird relationship with her mom.
Have you seen that thing that's like, daddy issues make you a people pleaser and mommy issues make you psychotic? Like, here it is. There it is.
Yeah.
Certainly not.
People say that because I saw that and it was like Zuko because he has daddy issues, and then it was Azula because she has mommy issues. Get it? She's fucking crazy. I love that bitch.
She really wants to be the big swan queen in the swan ballet thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Do believe in traditional dances of Swan Lake.
It's two people.
They're two people, right?
Yeah.
I think that it's not unheard of that that a person plays the same part. Like, it's a thing. But I don't think it's very common practice because it's kind of like logistically a nightmare.
So, yeah, the director of her.
And I think the endings
He's the director.
He's the director,
right?
Yeah. I think the endings of Swan Lake sometimes get changed. I think depending on what production you watch kind of depends on like what happens to, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think it's always the same.
You can't do that.
I think there is a traditional ending, but like I think that it's like doing your own production of a play. Like, you can change it. You can take artistic liberties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, but they're doing it where the Black Swan and the White Swan are both going to be played by the same people, and like when they're like the person, the dancer who used to play Swan Queen, I guess.
Oh, what's her name? Beth, yeah.
Beth.
Yeah, she's being forced into retirement. So she's the current Swan Queen. Winona Ryder. Incredible casting.
Yeah.
Because when you see her, you're like, is that fucking Winona Ryder?
And it is.
And it is. And you're like, good choice.
Yeah.
And she's pissed off and she like leaves and she's mad about it.
Yeah. There's a lot of gossip about her, like how she's a mess and she's old and decrepit, even though she's like in her 30s, like late 30s, maybe. Yeah.
Like, if that.
If, yeah. Like, so, and like, she's just like falling apart, and like, so it's, she's gonna get replaced.
Yeah. And,
and Nina wants it.
So they're doing tryouts for the Swan Queen, and Nina does the dance, and then he's like, if I was just casting the White Queen, you would have it. And
he's
she's like,
so pure, and
but yeah, you gotta, so you gotta show the duality of woman to get this role.
No, women are one dimensional.
Yep. Unfortunately, as we see here with Natalie Portman.
So he's like,
you know what? I think I'm going to, this is a bad time to say this. I want to roll back on the ironically misogynistic comments because people can't see the face I make after I do them.
If you hear misogyny, just know that Molly makes one of those silly little shrugs.
I maybe should stop. This is gonna ruin my political career.
We should just get a sound effect that's like, did I do that? And then just play that after.
I'm joking.
One of those like, wah, wah.
No, we gotta get the firm. I think you should leave that. Ah, I'm joking. That's good. Write that down. Write that down.
Write that down. Write that down.
No.
Okay.
So but anyway, yeah. Sorry.
So he tells her, do the black swan. And so she starts up and she's doing it. And then someone opens the door. It's Mila Kunis.
Lily?
Lily.
Well, she had seen this woman on the bus.
Yeah,
before.
She right. Well, she kinda saw like a glimpse of her. Yeah.
Yeah. And
Lily's the bad girl.
She doesn't.
She shows up late.
I'm new in town.
She doesn't have to warm up.
Yeah.
She eats whatever she wants and smokes cigarettes, and she has wings tattooed on her back, even though that would never fucking fly.
Yeah.
Wings.
Yo.
Fly.
Write that down.
Write that down.
I'm sorry.
So yeah, Nina gets distracted and so she messes up, and his name is Thomas. He's French.
He's so French. Picture that French actor. I guarantee you're picturing him.
Yeah.
Vincent Cassel. Yeah.
And he's like French in real life.
Oh yeah, he's super
He's
French.
Not just French for the movie.
No.
He's real French.
Genuine French guy.
Certified French.
Certified French. But like when you hear somebody say that, you know what they mean. You know what they mean.
Come on. He's like, I've seen enough. And then gets the next girl up. So she's really sad. She goes home, and as she's walking, she's like walking on one of those streets in New York where like there's construction and there's like a scaffolding blocking the street.
And here's where I pointed out that I'm aware that this movie is set in New York, but the whole movie feels very European. Even this scene, like I'm like, I feel like I'm in Berlin.
Ooh. It's because there's a French guy.
It's because there's a French guy in it. And it's bad. Like, it's arts, you know?
Yeah.
Like, fucking Suspiria. Like, that's in Germany, right? Like, it feels like that.
But she walks past this other girl, and she looks, and it's her face. But then she keeps watching, and then, like, it's just, like, another random person.
Yeah. What up with that? Woman moment.
Woman moment.
Woman moment.
She sees herself. Okay, so she's doing more practice, whatever. She hurts herself, I think.
Yeah, she like hurts her toe. Foot. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like her nail is like bloody.
Oh, God. A lot of this stuff is like really medically brutal. I hate, like, it's just so disturbing.
Ugh, it's really hard to watch. All of this stuff is like, ugh, really gross to me. Mm-hmm. I can't handle it.
I haven't personally seen a lot of Aronofsky's stuff. I think I've only ever seen Mother.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen another Aronofsky. Maybe one other.
I've seen like Requiem for Dreams.
But is his stuff like always like hard? Like, does he do gruesome stuff like that? Is that common for him?
Yeah. He does.
I mean. Spoiler alert on Mother. Wait, Molly.
I haven't seen it.
Okay. I won't say anything. Oh, did you hear that?
Yeah.
There's the part with...
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yep. Right. So the toe thing, and then her mom like tells her to talk to the director or something.
And this woman is like...
Here's where you meet the scariest mom you've ever seen in your life.
She's terrifying. And she's so codependent and like detached.
Yeah.
Not detached. Attached. There's a word for that, like when people are really attached to their like kids after they get married.
I don't know.
I forget what it is. A podcast I listen to talks about it a lot.
Oh, I see.
Enmeshment. Where like parents become like enmeshed with their kids and like won't let them like branch out or have independent lives, and like it's like sometimes it's it goes both ways. Like, they're very codependent, like, with each other. But sometimes the parent becomes very, like, enmeshed in their kid's life and, like, can't let them be independent.
And this is happening here.
Yes, very much.
This woman is obsessed with her daughter.
It's also, creepy. like later on she talks about how she, like, used to be have a good career until she, like, so had to give, like, it up because she got pregnant.
So she's, like, living through Nina, like, yeah. You know, like, the whole thing where moms obsess over the success over their, especially their daughters, is because they see themselves in the daughter's success.
And it's so interesting too, because then it's later pointed out that, like, maybe the mom wasn't actually that successful.
She's kind of making a bigger deal of, like, her past.
What career?
Yeah
calls her out for getting old, and she was like 28 or something. Oh god, do you need the spray?
No, it's okay.
Yeah, so the next day she, like, puts on some lipstick while she's on the subway. Oh, it's the lipstick
she stole from Beth's, she went to Beth's vanity and she stole the lipstick from her.
Yeah, she stole a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think she stole some of the other stuff after Beth's accident, but I'm not 100% on that.
I don't know.
There could be no way of knowing.
Who could ever be sure?
Yeah, but this bitch a klepto.
Yeah, she stole a lot.
She puts on the makeup and then goes and talks to Toma, and
she's trying to be innocent about it and be like, I perfected whatever the thing is last night. And he's like, that's it. And she's like, yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm giving it to Victoria. And she's like, okay. And then she starts to go and he's like, oh, you're not even going to try to convince me.
Oh, what a creep.
And yeah, he's like really horny and he kisses her and then she bites him and then she, like, runs away. And then she goes outside and then all the girls are out there and she says congratulations to Victoria when they see, like, this stuff has been posted.
And then she walks away.
She walks away. And then Victoria's like, what the fuck, you bitch? Why would you do that? Is that a sick joke?
Because she got the part of Swan Queen.
Yep.
Some kind of Swan Queen role. It's crazy. And again, like, I don't know. This whole thing is a woman moment.
Oh, yeah. Well, this isn't like, so, isn't shortly after this when she goes into the bathroom?
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I wish there was more of this, but also, like, maybe not. I love, like, how they communicate, like, the jealousy, like, feminine jealousy, especially in a career like this where,
oh my God,
like, you hear stories about how competitive and jealous and, like, catty and awful, like, women in the like, field can be.
There's no friends. It's all competition.
Which is crazy.
No.
Imagine not being friends with the people you work with.
Even like your besties, you will undercut them. Like, it's serious business.
I would hate that.
Yeah, I would too. I would be fucking miserable.
Yeah.
Do you guys know this about me? Like, I'm horrifically competitive.
Yes.
Like,
I've played board games with you, Molly.
Right, never mind.
I don't think I've seen you probably at your most competitive, but I know you're competitive.
I am a pretty competitive person. So I think that a situation, and I try and keep it to limited, you know?
Yeah.
I think if I were in a career field that thrived on competition, it would send me down a very dark path.
Oof, yeah.
Yeah, I do. I think I'm a competitive person, but I don't know if, like, I would get exhausted doing stuff like that because I would just be, I don't think I'd be consumed as the thing, but I would want to be very good at, I don't know if that makes sense. Like, it wouldn't take over my life, but it would tire me out.
I was pretty competitive with sports, but, like, not in a destructive way. I wasn't competitive in the way that they're competitive.
I'm imagining you smacking a volleyball down into somebody's face.
I
broke somebody's nose once.
I faced someone. This is fucked up. This is how fucked up my family is. My family put out something called the bounty, and it's if I ever faced somebody on a serve, they would buy me some fireworks, and I did it. And they delivered.
Bribery with fireworks that are illegal.
They're not illegal.
They're legal to shoot.
Oh.
Yeah. You can, it's stupid. You can legally buy them, but you're not allowed to shoot them.
Yeah, well, they just bought them. We didn't shoot them or anything.
Yeah.
No, I think you can shoot them in West Virginia, right?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, we did. Because so, that's what happened. We bought them in Ohio and shot them.
A lot of the
Virginia.
States around don't sell them, but you can shoot them there. In Ohio, you can't shoot it, but you can buy them. It's fucking stupid.
Yeah, I was in sixth grade, I think. Yeah, I was in sixth grade, and we bought them in, well, because we also won the tournament.
Also, good on you smacking somebody's face in sixth grade.
It happens all the time.
I know, but in sixth, like,
it happened, that wasn't even, like, power. It happened repeatedly throughout my career. I've gotten faced. Like, it's really not, it's not uncommon.
One
you
time,
get caught unawares.
When I was working for Big Ten Network, I was on the court holding a camera underneath for the women's basketball game at Ohio State. And, like, the star player, who I was, like, a big fan of at the time, I don't remember her name, smacked a basketball down straight into it. She was, like, blocking and right into my face. Fucking hurt. She said sorry, though. It was nice.
There you go.
But anyways.
Man, I miss sports. I played volleyball. It was just like this. I was so close to becoming this for real.
At that tournament, was that you in the locker
you,
room?
You turn into a volleyball.
Oh my God.
And then hit the volleyball.
And then I deflate. Oh, well, Tchaikovsky's playing, which is kind of a weird choice for a game. No, it's all about that, like, 10% luck, 20% skill song is playing.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. Sorry
where,
to talk about myself.
Where were we in the movie? I don't even remember.
We were at the bathroom scene.
Oh,
she goes to the bathroom and calls her mom and then walks out and...
Whore!
It says on the mirror.
Which is something
lipstick.
You should never call a woman.
Never.
Yeah.
I'm not joking. This is me being non-ironic. Non-misogynistic. This is me being... I have to say non-misogynistic. This is me being non-ironically feminist.
So this is to imply that, like, it's the general belief that she slept with the dude, Thomas, yeah, to get the part. So there's,
that's what everyone thinks.
We're seeing inklings of this assumption, which she, of course, did not do.
Yeah.
So she goes home. There's a cool thing where, like, she's looking for her mom, and then, like, her mom has a bunch of paintings
of her.
Of her, yeah, very weird.
But they're, like, not good.
But the paintings move, and then they don't move.
They just kind of, like, slightly, like, shift.
Shift, yeah.
And honestly, like, it's kind of a blink and you'll miss it kind of thing. Like, yeah. I don't remember the painting parts of this movie, and this is, like, the third time I've seen it. But it was cool. Like, I'm glad that, like, I saw it, because it's kind of your first real, like, oh, like, this is spooky kind of moment, you know, of this movie. Because this movie's, like, fucked.
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of the first hint of that.
Then there's this weird cake thing where the mom bought her a cake. And
that
then
scene is so real.
Nina very clearly has an eating disorder. Yeah. And she does not want the cake, and she's like, oh no, I'm still nervous, my stomach is still not good. And the mom's like, okay, then it's garbage, and then goes to throw it away.
Yeah. And then Nina is apologetic and says she'll have some, and then they do this weird bit where she, like, licks the icing off of the mom's finger, and she's like, yummy.
Yummy.
Oh, it's so gross. But it's, like, a fucked up scene. It's so stressful.
Yeah.
And, for, like, no reason. Yeah. But, like, also, it works really well.
It's such a, like, that's, like, one of
this,
that's a reality,
so,
type scene. Yeah. Like, for somebody like Nina, like, that is,
oh yeah,
you really understand why Nina is the way she is. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
The mom's awful.
Oh, God. Yeah. So we get past that. Oh, also, just weird enough, they say that's their favorite cake. It's vanilla with strawberry filling.
And it's their favorite.
Yeah.
Like, which is the interesting
it's
part.
Their
oh.
favorite. But it's also just a weird flavor to be your favorite. Like, sure, I'm sure it's delightful.
That sounds
but
awesome.
I wouldn't say vanilla with strawberry filling's my go-to.
No, I would not eat it.
Somebody offered it to me, I'd be down.
What?
The icing was beautiful. There was those big roses on it. And I looked whipped, too, so it's not that heavy buttercream. It's a lighter option.
I would love that. That's, like, maybe, yeah, I don't know. That might be, like, a top five cake.
Yeah, I just thought it was odd.
No, I would try it to be polite, but if otherwise, I wouldn't.
You would not, yeah. He hates fruit.
Really?
Not a fan of fruit.
I make him eat.
Wait, like in serious?
I mean, I'm fine with like fruit, but like not in like desserts.
We split a fruit almost every single day just so I can make sure that he gets fruit in his diet.
I mean, I'm fine with that. Like I'll eat apples. Yeah. Like I just don't like choose fruit, but I do. I'm not a fan of like fruit in desserts.
Mm-mm. Fruit's my favorite food. I had a 20-minute conversation with my coworkers today about fruit.
We've been eating a lot of watermelon.
Oh, yeah.
He likes watermelon. That's good. Watermelon's good shit.
Anyway, what's this movie about?
Not fruit.
Well, a little bit. It's a little fruity. We'll get to that.
I can't stop thinking about that Robert Pattinson audio. Nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. Have you heard it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. I didn't do it well, but I can't stop hearing it.
So she goes to practice, and Thomas is like, you have to feel the black swan. And I never believed it, but I saw some of it in you yesterday.
Give me more of that bite.
Get ready to give me more of that bite.
Oh, you're so clever, aren't you?
And this is the point where you just are like, every time this man opens his fucking mouth. Like, he sucks.
Shut up.
He sucks so hard.
Yeah, he sucks so much. And they do practice, and there's a lot of ballet scenes in this, and they're all great. Like, the ballet is really fun.
I read a fun trivia that she trained for Natalie Portman trained for a year before filming started. And like I mentioned earlier, this budget was really, really tight. And she had already known that she had the role before the funding was completely secured. So mm-hmm. she paid for her ballet lessons out of her own pocket because it was just like a priority for her. Like, they didn't make her do it. She just like was very dedicated. She also lost 20 pounds the role.
Oh, my God.
Like, unwell.
Yeah, she's like very tiny in
that
this.
Stressed me out.
Yeah. Like, every time she'd turn and show her shoulders, I'd be like, oh my God. But and then also so there was like a controversy about the ballet stuff because she has a body double that did some of the more complex, like the turns and stuff, mm-hmm. that would have required a lot of practice, years and years of practice. Apparently they used special effects. So when the body double was doing these, they digitally altered and put Natalie Portman's face. So like at the end, when she's doing that big turn sequence as the Black Swan, if you really watch it, you can tell that it's only certain frames of it are dubbed her face. Yeah. I was like watching for that. So apparently the body double was like kind of mad because Natalie Portman won the Oscar for this role. And there was a huge campaign before that was basically kind of bragging about how hard Natalie Portman worked on her ballet skills for this. And it's true. She really did. But they refrained from like even acknowledging the harder stuff with somebody else. And the body double was kind of mad about that, to the point where like there was like packages of like the technical aspects of the movie where stuff was edited to hide the fact that there was like a face digitally added to some of the tricks, and it was like a whole controversy. But later, it's obviously known now, but Aronofsky has gone on record to be like, I don't want to discredit Natalie Portman though, because like the 80% of that film, like actual numbers, is Natalie Portman doing the dancing. Mm-hmm. So like a lot of this stuff is her. It's just like when she's doing the really, really complex stuff. So you mentioned all the scenes, and I just wanted to acknowledge that. That's so cool, because ballet is not easy.
Yeah, it definitely does not look easy.
No, and you see how fucked up it is to your body too.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was my cool. I was just like fascinated by that.
Right. He also like talks about how great Lily is and how she's like imprecise but she's effortless.
Mm-hmm. And you can feel like you feel her emotion.
Yeah. And then
she's raw.
There's a party where like he's introducing that she's the Swan Queen, and he's also like talking about Beth retiring, and he does a toast and
calls her his little princess.
Yeah,
Beth gets sad and storms out.
Yeah, she's pissed. And then afterwards, Well, this is when she goes to the bathroom, I think, and, yeah. and has the scene.
So she goes to the bathroom, and...
Oh, my God, yeah.
You get a flash as she's starting to wash her hands, like, her fingers, like, a little red. And then she notices it, and then she starts picking at, like, a loose cuticle.
Yeah.
And then she... It's hard for me to describe this, because, honestly, I can only, like, half look at the screen.
Yeah.
But it's so hard for... This is, like, the thing I can't... I feel it in my stomach now.
It's just basically like pulling at a thread on your on like one of your clothes.
But it's her skin.
Yeah, she like basically just pulls up some skin, and it's like really gross.
And then so she winces from the pain, obviously, and then she looks back down at her hand, and it's normal. There was never a hangnail.
It's all an illusion.
So it's like what?
And then Mila Kunis walks in.
Oh yeah, because she's been banging on the door. And then she's like, oh my God, it's you. Like, yeah. You're so great. Let's hang out.
And she just Nina's casually, like, no. She also just casually takes off her panties and puts them in her purse.
What was that?
It was very strange.
She's preparing for later. And it's also a dominance move on her. Yeah, like she's doing like a dominant thing.
That's true.
I don't know about all that.
But yeah. So Nina leaves and... the guy's like, the French guy, at the end of the night, he's like, oh, you should come back to my house for some drinks.
Oh, shut up.
And then he goes to...
Oh my God, never mind. I almost said something mean.
Is it about French people?
No.
Oh man, I wish it was. So he goes to say bye to somebody, like an assistant calls, and so she's like kind of left by herself, and she's like admiring a statue. But then suddenly,
Winona shows up. Jump scare. Winona.
It is edited and shot to be a actual jump scare. Scares the shit out of you, and then so she's like, you know,
she's just like questioning, did you fuck him?
Yeah,
whatever.
She's questioning like how much Nina deserves it, and calling her names and shit, and she starts yelling at her.
Mm-hmm.
And Nina, like, so I will say, earlier in like an earlier scene, they were all talking about how Beth is like old and should stop dancing, and how like, she's dried up and washed up. And Nina defends her,
right?
Like, she's like the only person in the ballet company that sticks up for Beth and says, "No, she's a great, beautiful dancer." Like, and then
like what's happening is really sad. Like, this is just something that happens.
Plenty of dancers dance like when they're older. Like, she's still good. Like, Nina's the only one that defends her. And then like the scene where Beth like really turns on her is hard.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel good for Nina either, because she already has mommy issues. This is not helping.
Yeah. But
so then
luckily
Tomas shows up.
Yeah. Tomas shows up and he's like, okay, we're leaving. Let's go to my place. Just you and me, baby.
Oh, get away from her.
He immediately, like, they get there and he immediately talks about it, her sex life. He's like,
asks if she's a virgin, like trying to figure out why she's like so like shy. And then he gives her homework to go home and masturbate.
Yeah.
And it's like, of course, you piece of garbage man, of fucking course.
Disgusting. Yep.
But she does.
She does.
But that's in the morning.
When she gets home, that's a jump scare. She goes home and her mom like notices like she has like a cut or something.
Well, there's like scratches on her back.
Like from scratching herself.
Yeah,
it's on her shoulder blade. So it's like if you reached across your body and scratched your shoulder blade, like in that spot.
She has that like obsessive behavior where she like scratches herself when she's upset and anxious, and like picks at her skin. And
it gets established that like she's been doing this since she was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, I wonder why.
So
her mom starts obsessing, saying
and
they need
cutting
to, like,
her nails dramatically, like
with little scissors, like scissors that you would cut your like cuticles with, and like that, not fucking clippers, which should be, but for some reason this family uses scissors.
Yeah,
which might have been a thing back in the day, but it's like it's 2010, man.
It's 2010. Crazy.
But so next morning. Nina wakes up and she's like, I guess I'll try it out, the homework.
And then she gets into it and then you get jump scared hardcore because she realizes her mom's asleep in the chair right next to her.
Yeah,
and this is after like really watching her get into it.
Oh yeah. She like flips alarming. Over.
Yeah,
like,
it is going down.
Throws the blanket on her basically.
Yeah. So that's quite a jump scare. And I just want to ask, like, when her mom was trimming those nails, did they file them down afterwards? Because, like, I'm just thinking, like, her nails at this point are, like, jagged as shit.
I do not like, think so.
It can't be helping. Anyways, that was on my mind for most of, like, the 30 minutes after the nail trimming thing was, like, those nails are probably so fucking sharp now.
Yeah.
But then she starts, like, compulsively clipping them and filing them down, as we'll see.
So we find out that Beth got hit by a bus or something.
She walked out into they say that she purposely, they're at practice and this girl like dramatically runs in and is crying because Beth's been in an accident. And so she walked into traffic and got hit by a truck.
And Nina goes to visit her and like looks at her like
legs
and it's all stitched.
It's got a huge stitched up cut and it's all bruised and it's gnarly.
Yep.
This is where I think she steals a bunch of the shit. Like, I might be wrong. It's either this or like earlier when she steals the lipstick. I'm not sure.
I don't know. And then I don't know. There's some more like later, Tomah like harasses her or like, after practice, they do more practice,
and then
he, like, kisses her and, like, gropes her.
Get away from her!
But his point is that he seduces her, and he's trying to say that she needs to learn how to, like, seduce him, meaning, like, be a better swan. He's abusing her.
Yeah.
He's hardcore abusing her. Mm-hmm. Terrible dude. Oof.
It's creepy. It's so uncomfortable to watch, too.
Yeah,
but poor little Nina. She's, like, lost in the sauce.
And she's, like, sitting there crying, and Mila Kunis shows up and gives her a cigarette, and she's, like, they're talking and being friends, and then she's, like, ooh, someone's hot for teacher.
Yeah.
Don't say that.
And then Nina gets upset and leaves.
Yep. There's a creep in the subway.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Just very weird, out of nowhere.
Man moment.
She goes home and, like, fights with her mom. It's a very interesting how the fight starts, because, like, it starts with the mom being like, oh, he's not taking advantage of you, is he? And then she's like, no, it's fine, whatever, leave me alone. And then the mom's like, well, I just want to... I don't want you to make the same mistakes that I did because I lost my career.
For you.
Yeah, for you. And then, like, they get into it and, like, get into a bigger fight. And then Lily shows up.
Oh, I thought that was, like, after, like, I think there's, like, another day where I thought that there was, like, a scene where Tomah, like, says... something along like he's getting on her about like being good, and she's like, do you have any notes? And he's like, I just told that you were crying about it,
right?
And she gets mad at Lily for like saying that.
I skipped a day because there's a scene where she's taking a bath like she goes under the water or something, and then she like looks up and like it's her like standing
above
her,
up.
Yeah, it's really creepy. It's a cool scene. And then like she goes and like starts cutting her fingers, right? Mm-hmm. And then like it goes the camera pans to the mirror, and then it's like an evil version of her like cutting the tip of her fingers. Yeah, it's very cool. Like also like stolen basically from Perfect Blue, all the mirror stuff.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So much of the mirror stuff.
Darren Aronofsky, you bitch.
Yep. But yeah, later, like, he talks to her, Tomah talks to her and talks about how, oh, Nina or Lily told me you were, like crying or whatever. And, she's like, oh, you shouldn't have said that. She shouldn't have said that. And then later she goes and like gets mad at Lily.
And then Lily says, like, oh, we just ran into each other and I just told him that you were great, but you were getting stressed. And she's like, why was he talking to you?
Yeah.
And she's like, wow, your highness. It's such a diss. And she doesn't even mean it to be. She's just confused. So, yeah. So then later, Lily shows up after Nina's been fighting with her mom and is like, hey, I just wanted to apologize. Like, come out with me.
And they go out and they do drugs.
But Nina does not want to.
She doesn't want to, but like eventually, like
Lily drugs her, even though Nina sees Lily drug her. She sees
it, and then but she like asks, she's like, oh, it only lasts. Earlier, she like gives her a pill, and she's like, oh, it only lasts a couple hours or so. And then she's like, no, Nina's like, I don't want to do this. So later, she sees Lily like putting the like opening the pill and putting it into a drink
and hanging out with two guys
and then so she walks up to them and Lily's like, yeah, let's get drunk, this is Tom and Jerry. And the Jerry's like, actually my name's Andrew.
And Tom is Sebastian Stan.
I think
Andrew is Jerry. Andrew is Sebastian Stan. And
yeah.
You're like, what?
Yep.
It's too early.
But, yeah, Lily's like, well, come on, let's have fun. And so Nina, like, takes the drink and looks at it, and she's like, just a couple of hours, right? And Lily's like, yeah. And then, so she drinks it. So she, like, I don't know, she, like, knows,
she knows
that she's drinking.
But Lily does try to drug her.
Yeah.
so then they have, like, a fun night at
fun
the bar
night.
With the dudes, and they dance. Well, and then, like, she kind of, like, wakes up. As she's like making out with a different
with, like, a
dude
random guy
in like a nasty fucking
the men's
bathroom.
Yeah.
So then she's like, I gotta go. So she like panics and freaks out, and she goes to get in a taxi. And then Lily's like, where are you going? And then joins her.
And Lily tries to finger her.
Yeah.
In the
so
taxi.
They're on their way home in the taxi, and Lily tries to make a move, and then she's like, no. She like politely grabs her hand and like moves it, and then like smiles at her. So, anyways, gay stuff happens.
Can't yeah. do that.
She goes home.
You just can't do that.
Sometimes I laugh like I'm Ray Liotta in Goodfellas.
So she shows up, and
yeah,
then
you can.
Her mom is like being annoying, and then
yeah,
she fights with her mom and tells her that she fucked all those guys.
Yeah.
And then
her mom
starts
like
freaking out.
Slaps her, and she's like,
yeah.
Fine.
And so she runs
like,
into
this is not my Nina.
Yeah. She runs into her room, and like she had already like gotten this pole, this like rod to jam so she can keep her door
yeah,
from being
like
opened.
It's like a pipe, basically.
Yeah.
And
she uses that
pipe
to lock her mom out. And then her and Lily start doing it.
Yeah.
And then,
and
but
also
there's this weird scene because, like, Lily's, like, going down on her and then, like, looks up and her face turns into Natalie Portman's face. And it's really trippy.
And then at the
I
end
love
of the
how
scene
they repeat
also,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens multiple times.
At the end of the scene also, like, her face transforms and she's like, sweet girl, and it's Natalie Portman's face, and then she hits her with a pillow.
And so this sets off kind of, and it's happened a couple other times, but this is one of the major first ones where you're not sure what in the movie is mm-hmm. real or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it works really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, at this point, you're like, truly questioning Nina.
Woman moment.
Truly a woman moment. So then she wakes up the next morning and she freaks out because she slept in. And
it's the big day. They're practicing on the stage.
On the stage.
That they're going to be performing on.
And so she starts rushing out the door, and then she passes by her mom, who's just like sitting calmly in the living room. And she's like, why didn't you wake me up? And her mom just like looks at her. And then so she runs out. And so, she shows up late, and who's playing her part on this? Who is playing the part?
I don't know who.
Who could it be? It, Lily.
It's fucking Lily.
Oh, like, oh my God. What?
Yep.
So she's mad, and she gets told to do her warm-ups.
Yeah.
And she tries to apologize, but nobody cares.
And also she talks to Lily, and Lily's like, I didn't go home with you unless your name's Tom.
Yeah. Lily's like apologetic, and she's like, I'm so sorry. Like, he asked me to step in because like, and she was like, so she basically is, so Nina implies like, you slept over, you know, what the hell?
Yeah.
And Lily's like, what? And then she starts like putting things together, and she's like, did you have a lesbian dream about me? No, yeah. She says a lezzy wet dream. It's like, what?
Okay. I want
what a straight thing to say.
Oh, that was written by a man.
Oh, yeah.
It was written by a straight man.
This movie, the script is three dudes wrote it. Yeah.
It was written by three straight men. Yeah. One of them could be queer.
Could be.
More than one of them could be queer.
And then it was directed by Darren Aronofsky.
Who could?
No.
No, but it was. I hate this. And like.
It's like
it blue is the warmest colors itself, you know? It's like lesbians written by men.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unfortunate.
Directed by men, and I hate that.
It's unfortunate because this movie is a banger. It's a banger.
It is.
But the whole time you're like, God damn it.
Like, I was like, man.
Yeah. Like, it's like, there's just a audaciousness happening.
Some kind of meta man moment where the man moment is the man behind the camera.
The man moment was wet dream.
And I get that it was like literally 2010.
Yeah.
And then they say they're kind of homophobic, right?
Well, yeah. Earlier in the thing, she makes a gay joke about Tom and Jerry.
Yeah. Like, you can't do that.
She's the cool girl that hangs out at all the clubs. She's from San Francisco. So who's to say she's also... My theory is that Nina is gay. I think Nina is gay. And doesn't understand that about herself.
I don't know if she's just gay.
Well, no, I think she's just some sort of queer. Yeah. And I don't think she understands that about herself. I think that's a major thing.
I think you can absolutely read that.
Yeah.
I agree.
I don't think Lily is, though. I think Lily is straight. I know we project wanting her to be, but...
I don't know.
She's like a Natasha Lyonne type situation where it's very unfortunate.
You know.
It's painful.
No, but also, I get the characterization. I think it could go either way, which I think also works.
Isn't it unfortunate that Mila Kunis is boring now?
Is she?
Yes.
Mila Kunis? You mean... The person that I know from that Cheetos commercial.
Yeah, with her husband, Ashton Kutcher.
The parody of Wasn't Me by Shaggy.
This is the first time hearing of this.
They're so hardcore sellouts.
Really? Nice.
It's painful.
That's awesome.
Painful. Anyways.
I don't care when a celebrity sells out.
I know, but they're the kind that's like, shut the fuck up. Really? There's like Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell. Like they're like, okay. they're best friends with them. Like they're like a foursome. They're all besties.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Also, like Ashton Kutcher is like a Reddit, like... crypto kind of person.
Yeah.
NFT. Do they have NFTs?
I don't know if he like officially has one, but he's the kind of person like he's like invested in stuff.
Yeah.
And he's like a business, like he bought something.
I believe he's also a fan of the CIA. Publicly a fan of
He does the whole thing where he like tracks down child predators.
Yeah, he does that. But he also like has like multiple times I think tweeted the CIA about how much he supports them.
What? That's like nuts.
But I think it might be related to the fact that he's really passionate about stopping sex trafficking. I don't know. But he's also, his whole thing is he's passionate about it because he has a daughter. He's one of those people.
I mean, okay, I'm not gonna knock him for that.
No, but he's one of those people that having a daughter woke him up to the, like, you know, where it's like a, like, because I'm a father,
sure,
you know, like that kind of thing. It's like you weren't thinking about
okay.
I'm not gonna
disparage him for anything he does related to that kind of work.
Sorry, I wasn't listening because I found an article that's talking about how Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis are making a animated show that you can only watch if you buy an NFT.
I'm gonna kill myself.
Wait, I feel like Mila herself has made several NFT-based things now that I'm thinking about
it. Probably.
I think she's done several NFT animated voice projects.
Man, Jane Fonda is in this also.
Oh, no. No!
I know.
Wait, a show you can only watch if you buy an NFT?
Yeah.
That, like, actually, I'm not even kidding you, I think that might be a wrap.
It's over.
I don't want more of this life.
Yeah, it's really bad.
This is what we're working towards.
Well,
this is what we're progressing towards,
Molly,
in a society.
Hold on. Wait till you hear the name of the show, though.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Stoner Cats.
Shit. You guys just get it on the Plex.
I swear I think that project like already probably started and failed. Like, I don't think it's a thing anymore.
The NFT show.
This article is from
made.
Last year, yeah. 2021, July.
Oh my god, NFTs have been around for like a year now.
Ugh, yeah.
That sucks.
Man, only a year? It feels like it's been 10.
I think I might hate NFTs more than I hate like most other things about like the things I hate about the internet.
Oh yeah,
they're bad.
What's funny is when the apes get stolen.
I do like when people's apes get stolen.
It's every time. I'm always like, good.
I read it in
Seth
the
Green.
Whoever said the sent the Kendall Roy. Dad. Oh, our apes are gone. I always read it like in that voice. Oh, all our fucking apes are gone.
Yep.
Yeah, shut up.
There was a big crypto crash this like past week or something.
Oh no.
Yeah. Good.
Anyways,
yeah.
Check out Tipsy Terror on OpenSea for the exclusive Tipsy Terror ape.
NFT, yeah.
What can you do to your apes with the sliming? No. What's
you can slime
you
an
slurp
ape.
Their juice.
Yeah, you
something.
Slurp the juice.
Whoa, okay. No. What's that?
I can't remember
I
how
know.
It goes.
What it is was like slurp? Some
when, you when you combine too many slurp juices.
Yeah. What the fuck? Is this even real?
It's yeah, like, it's something about customization.
It's some
or something.
Extra scam where it's like another NFT that you can buy that you can combine with your ape to create a different kind of ape or some shit.
And it's called stupid. Slurp juices?
Slurp juices, yeah.
I think I take it back. Remember when I said that NFTs were the worst thing? I think this is like... I am seriously, like, I'm going to go off and research this, and I'm mad. I'm so fucking mad. I'm going to turn into the She-Hulk. I'm going to forcibly feminize myself into the She-Hulk. Woman moment.
I can't woman believe. Moment. Are we going to watch that fucking show?
Oh,
I don't want to. And I know you're going to make me. And I don't want to. It's okay. I made us watch Moon Knight.
How did we get so far from God?
From Mila Kunis.
How did we get here?
Mila Kunis.
It's Mila Kunis's fault.
The Mila Kunis effect. Yeah,
okay.
But anyway, so like. She confronts her and she's like, you had a wet dream about me? Was I good? A man wrote that. Shut up. A man wrote that.
And then
that.
Nina runs away.
Yeah.
And goes to rehearse.
Yeah, they, like, she keeps practicing. The guy, the fucking pianist, leaves.
He says, I got a life, bitch. And then he walks out. Like,
literally.
He calls her ass out.
And then there's, like, the mirror, like, her, or she hears a creepy laugh and then hear... like there's like some mirror stuff, like her reflection is weird to her or something. And then the lights turn off and then she goes outside and then like goes to the other room and then she sees Thomas and Lily
and they're
are, like
going at it.
Yeah. But then Lily turns into
her
Nina and she looks up and Thomas is like the demon guy,
the guy who like gets the black swan. I can't. It starts
the
with
bad
an R.
Guy from the play.
Yeah,
from the
with
ballet.
The great makeup.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know who it is? The guy,
the bad guy.
The black swan guy.
Right.
What? No,
that's,
no, no, not
Portman's
the prince.
Husband.
Not well. There's the prince, and then there's the like guy with all the feathers.
Who's the guy with all the feathers?
I'm looking it up.
Like, he has horns or something. He looks like a demon.
Rothbart.
Wait, what are you guys asking me right now? You were asking what the character's name is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rothbart.
Natalie Portman, like, met her husband on this movie.
Yeah,
I
it's the choreographer.
It was.
Yeah.
Oh,
the
wow.
choreographer for this is her husband.
Oh, nice. But, yeah, so she is freaking out. She runs... And she goes to the hospital and returns all the stuff that she stole from Beth and puts all that stuff down. And then Beth, like, looks over and she... I forget what she says, but she takes like a nail file and starts like stabbing herself in the face.
Oh, it's so jarring.
Yeah.
But then her face again turns into Nina's face.
Yeah.
And she's saying something about something. I don't know. It's mean and stressful. And Nina runs away.
Yeah.
And then she goes home.
Well, she runs out and then runs into the elevator and then she's... She looks in her hand and she's holding...
Oh, holds the nail file.
The nail file. Bloody,
so, did she fucking kill her?
Did she do it?
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who can ever be sure?
Is it real? Is it fake?
Spooky. Spooky. Yeah, she goes home. It's really creepy. She sees... there's a jump scare with Beth. With like her face all bloody, in the kitchen, and then she goes, and all the paintings are
like
moving.
Yelling at her, so she starts ripping them down, and then her mom's like, "What's wrong?
What's
honey?
Wrong? What are you doing?" And then she runs back to her room, and like her rash, like on her back, is like turning into, or like something's coming out of it. It's like pulsating or something. Mm-hmm. And like she gets like the goose flesh and then like a feather comes out of her back.
Yeah.
And then her legs like bend at like a bird angle. Well, also during this sequence, she like slams her mom's hand in the door.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But then like her knees break and bend backwards and we get a flash of her like legs transforming, but then it cuts and she's like waking up in bed.
She wakes up in bed and
she got mittens on.
She got mittens on. Her mom's like, "Oh, you were scratching," and she's like, "No, I need to go." Yeah,
she realizes
for my show.
Her mom is purposely making her miss, and her mom was like, "I called in for you. I told them you weren't well." Like
the doorknob is missing,
and her mom like sits dramatically on a chair, and she's like, "Get up!" And she like throws her mom around and like. Gets the doorknob and lets herself out and like runs out, and so she makes it over to the place where the ballet is gonna happen, the theater or whatever, and she kind of goes in and just starts doing her makeup and kind of ignoring everyone questioning while she's there until Tomas shows up and is like, "I already told Lily she could have the part," and she's like, "Did you announce it?" And he's like, "No," and she's like, "You don't want another scandal after Beth, do you?" Like she's starting to turn into the Black Swan. Yeah. Ooh, and he like respects her for it,
right? And
then he says to her, "The only thing getting in your way is you," which I think it's just important. But anyways,
so she starts doing her makeup and getting ready, and like she takes off her shoes and her like. Toes are all sticking together
and like they're webbed.
She peels them apart and then she looks at her other foot and they're like more webbed.
It's basically all one big chunk. Like her big toe and her second toe are like fused together completely. There's not even like a seam. So she just like puts a sock on it.
She said, "This is a problem for later me."
Yep.
So she goes to perform in the first act, and things are going pretty well. And then
she gets dropped.
She kind of flinches. I don't remember what she sees, but she's like stressed and anxious, and she flinches, which causes the guy to drop her hard too. Oh god. So it's kind of awkward. And then as they're running and the act finishes, so she watches other people dance, and I think she sees her face in some other people's faces as they're dancing and stuff. So then the curtains close after the act, and Tomas is like yelling at everybody, and she immediately is like, "He dropped me. It wasn't my fault." Like she's so quick to blame him. It's insane. But then she goes back to her dressing room, and who's there putting on the Black Swan outfit?
I bet it's not the same person that was... filling in for her at rehearsal.
Surely not
the same person she had a weird lesbian dream about. No. That maybe wasn't a dream.
Surprise,
it was Lily. No. It's Lily. It was her.
Egad.
So they get into a fight, and then like Nina like throws Lily into a mirror and then like stabs her with like a piece of glass from the mirror, and the thing breaks. Mm-hmm. And so she's dead, so she like moves the body into the other room and then just gets ready, and plays the Black Swan. And she does her dance.
She fucking kills it.
She is, like, finally able to confront the dark, like, part of herself
mm-hmm.
that she wasn't able to access before.
And she's like, intense.
It's intense and dark, and it's, like, everything that they've been pushing from her since she got the role.
And her eyes are super scary. Like, she's got that veil over those red eyes, and she's, like, the whole time she's performing, like, it's like she's looking in your soul. It's so creepy. So then there's like a bit, she does her dance and then she goes off the stage for a minute. And then she's like very sensual the whole time she's waiting for her next time to go out. And then right before it's time for her to go on stage again, she looks down at her arms and they're starting to get like the goose flesh and like tips of feathers are starting to go out. And so then we see her proceed to do this like long dance sequence. And, she does this this huge turn sequence and through all of it her feathers are getting larger and larger until finally she like hits her final pose and like fans the feathers out behind her and everyone, the crowd goes fucking crazy.
They're loving it. And it's great. Like it's really cool. Killed it.
And so then she does her bows and then walks off stage until Ma's like, get back on stage, and then she very aggressively kisses him.
Yeah.
And, like, he gets, like, giddy because of it.
Right. Gross.
And then she goes back on the stage and, like, accepts her stuff and then heads back to the room. And people are, like, complimenting her and shit.
But it's not over yet.
Nope. There's a third act.
And there's blood leaking out of from under that room where she hid the body.
And she, like, had stuff to tell really half-assed.
Like, like, panic cleaning like one does.
And then goes to do her makeup when there's a knock on the door.
And who's there? Surely not the person that she just like murdered,
no,
right?
That would be crazy.
That would be crazy. What
is no, Lily? Lily, what are you doing here?
You were so good.
Did
it's
y'all notice
me, Lily.
During this scene, she had like a weird line of silver across her lip. It was weird.
Yeah, it looked like a feather.
Yeah, like it was just like one random little delicate little silver bit going on her chin, but the rest of her face, and it was very strange.
I don't remember that.
I was distracted by it the whole time. But anyways, Lily was there and she's like, sorry about, you know, things being weird. Like, you're so good. Like, I can't help it. Like, I had to come tell you, like, you're good. Which, I'm so curious about Lily, because all in all, she seems pretty chill.
Yeah.
Like, clearly she's a little devious and wants to do, but, like, half the stuff where we think Lily is evil, like, was that actually Lily ever?
Right.
You know, like, no.
I don't think so.
Like, Lily was just all around a pretty chill person.
Yeah.
And just wanted to, like, be friends. But you know, that's not the way Nina saw it, unfortunately. So this confuses Nina, obviously, because she's looking in the face of the person she just killed. So she shoos Lily away and looks in the closet or the bathroom or whatever where she hid the body, and there's nothing there.
Nothing
the blood
there.
She saw was not real.
And then she looks down and she has a stab in her body, and
she got
pulls out
a Stussy. She pulls the glass out, which Molly immediately pointed out. You should never do. Never pull out the thing that has stabbed you if you can. That's just bad practice. And so she's got this like little bit of red starting to form, but it's like little.
And she does the final scene, and as she's about to jump off, the blood starts to leak out and get like bigger, and then she jumps off and lands
and
on
everyone's
the mattress.
Like, wow, you are
amazing.
So good. And she's laying there and everyone's praising her until Ma comes over.
And he calls her my little princess, which is what he called Beth.
Which she never thought he would call, because she thought that that was special to Beth. Mm-hmm. But everyone was like, no, that's what he says to the women he, you know, uses. And then they look down and realize that she's bleeding out. And then she's like, it was perfect. And then the movie's over.
The end.
So there's this big thing with everyone that watches the movie of, did she die? Is it symbolic? And I wanted to know, like, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think she died. I think because she was just becoming the Black Swan. Like, so like her life was turning into the Black Swan story.
Apparently Natalie Portman, originally when she read it, was like, oh yeah, she dies at the end. And then they were filming some some of the stuff, and at some point the blood, the way they were doing the blood, it reminded her of like periods, and she was like, maybe don't do it like that, like it seems like it's just a period thing. And he was like, oh no, that's on purpose. And she was like, oh, and like a bunch of, it was like all the things, like the math gif where like all the math is lining up around her head apparently. And she was like, so Natalie Portman landed on she doesn't die, but it's her transitioning into like finally reaching womanhood and like killing her child self. So like Natalie Portman at least believes it's like her moving on in life.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but it's like a painful way of reaching it, you know what I mean? Like it's not, she's not gonna come out of it okay.
Huh.
I fully believe she stabbed herself.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah. I like a ending that can be both literal and metaphor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good. Yeah. It can be a metaphor, and also she died.
This is one of my favorite endings in a movie.
Yeah.
Where like he's like, oh my God, are you okay? Are you okay? And she goes, it was perfect.
Yeah.
Like jaw on the floor. Like she was so delusional that like having danced the perfect dance, like
that was all she needed.
Made her okay.
Yeah.
She slayed. I'm just gonna say it.
She's like, great, yeah.
Segments?
Yeah, let's roll into the segments.
What would you do? I would not.
That would simply not be me.
Yep.
Yeah, me neither. Next
I don't.
Question.
Well, if you're, I mean, for something, well, this is such a specific storyline to go down. Like, you got to be in ballet. And I wouldn't have been in ballet that long.
Have,
so,
have you ever been so consumed by a passion that it like everything?
But
from
like
you?
The whole thing
it made
is
you a little bit crazy.
The whole thing is that she's following the Swan Lake story. So, like you know, when you're playing a different sport, there's not a Swan Lake story there.
If
I'm
I
not
was...
talking about volleyball. I'm talking about other things in my real life that like have led me down such an obsessive path.
Yeah, I guess.
And following and like pursuing like of my hobbies and passions and interests and like just in my terms of sense of self that like changed me in a way where I went a little bit nuts.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm thinking metaphorically, like I will never dance the way that she has danced.
I'm thinking of it as like a to go down this specific mental journey. I feel like having the ballet really tied it in for her. Because of the environment.
In some ways I relate just in terms of obsessively like falling into your passions and like letting that be a little destructive at times. In the sense that like losing yourself and like thinking like it's like when actors are like, what am I talking
about? Method acting or something?
No. But like when it goes too far, which is like actually only in movies. Mm. Never mind.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's
I see
like
what you mean.
I don't relate to that part of it. Like,
okay. I see. I
you know
see. Yeah, I'm coming around to it. Now I get it. That simply wouldn't be me, but this story, not yours. I relate to your side of it a little bit.
And I relate to like just like the working really hard for something and letting that like in its own right. Like,
yeah.
Send you into a state.
Mm-hmm. I guess like a good chunk of my life I would find that relatable. Now not so much. I have lost a lot of that, and that's I don't mean that in the depressing way. Every time I tell people that, kind of like I'm like, oh yeah, I'm not like that anymore, they're like, you are you depressed? And I'm like, no, I swear, like it's just I don't anyways can't relate.
Me too.
So there's no what would you do, because this simply wouldn't be, well, maybe a little for Molly.
Well, not like
we
not
could
in
see,
the same way.
Not in the same, maybe a little taste, a little snippet.
I mean, I think everyone has that.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm.
No, I don't think you're alone in that.
No.
I think a good chunk of, very large majority of people have some sort of relation. Which is why it works.
Also, I'm like mentally
there's a little
Ill.
Black swan in all of us. Little white swan and black swan. There's two wolves inside of you.
One of them's a white swan, one of them's a black swan.
And one of them's your mother.
Not kidding, I'm so close to becoming this. Your mother.
You know, that's how it is. So yeah, what is the next awards?
Acting awards.
Oh, come on.
No.
On this podcast we have some acting segments. We have the Jared Padalecki Acting Award for Excellence in Acting. It's an award we give to a good movie, an actor did a good job in a good movie. We have the Michioker Award. Did we ever talk about that?
What?
On the pod? What happened?
I don't know if we talked about it. I was already, like, the second we started this segment, I immediately was like, remember when he was bisexual for 12 hours?
I don't think we talked about that.
Glorious, glorious 2 days of my life.
Oh my God. The rise and fall. He didn't have to say anything.
That could have
been between him and himself.
Yep.
It is like, objectively, I think the funniest thing, not only like that he came out accidentally, yeah, but the fact that like he had in the, like the way that he did it, the way that it happened, like, okay. But then the fact that he waited so long to make it right.
To correct it. Like, going with it.
Like that, the fact that it took 2 days showed that they were willing. That in the cost benefit analysis, they were willing to let it go.
The man spent 10 years close to on air basically pretending to be gay a little bit, and he was like, I could do this for longer in real life.
It could not have happened to a funnier person.
No, it literally is the exact, like, when it happened, I was like, when he came out, quote, I was like, okay, yeah, okay. And then when I found out it was fake, I was like, I knew, like, I felt it in my heart.
When he came out, it reminded me when, like, J.K. Rowling was like, oh, Dumbledore's gay.
Yeah.
Oh, this character's this. Yeah. This character's that. But, like, way in retrospect, when, like, nobody cares or it doesn't matter, when he came out, it a little bit felt like that, where I was like, okay. Like, way to come out after.
Yeah, like, you waited a while there.
Yeah.
But I can only liken this to one other experience I had in my life, and it was the glee I felt when Moonlight won Best Picture after La La Land had already been announced. That same glee echoed again when I found out that Misha Collins is not actually bisexual.
Well, it's also because it's like, you know, you're like, oh, he's one of really? Okay. And then the glee of finding out, like, oh, thank God. It's that relief you felt. I think that's what it is you felt that same relief.
No, I don't know relief. It was just this, like, sick, like, yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Like that Onion picture of, like, in the window.
Of the sickos.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's right. I didn't know this from the Onion.
I didn't either.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, I don't know. That art style is definitely the Onion cartoonist art style.
So anyways, the Michioker Award.
For you tried your best in a, like, no, not the Michioker Award, for you tried your best.
You were mid. It was mid.
Yeah, thank
mid
you. Movie. We have to get back on track.
Everything was mid.
The Jensen accolade, you tried your best in a shitty movie. The movie's pretty bad, but you want to recognize an actor's performance. Plot twist, I'm going to give it to Natalie Portman.
Wow, yeah. Shocker there. Yeah, Natalie Portman takes the cake.
Like, maybe performance of the century. Yeah.
Throw out that Oscar, Natalie. You just got a Jared.
You just got a Jared. What if we started mailing letters at people? Oh, we should start tweeting at people.
Congratulations on your Jared. She's more active on Instagram, I believe. She's not a tweeter. She's an Instaer.
Good for her.
Yeah, she's one of those moms that posts, like, her healthy recipes that she makes for her kids.
Oh.
Yeah, good for her.
Is she one of those moms that, like, draws her daughter and gets her vanilla strawberry cake?
Maybe a little bit. Who's to say? She probably doesn't show that one on Instagram. But she wins the Jared. She takes the cake in this movie, man. She's incredible. I love her. I think she's a wonderful actress.
Seriously, yeah. Like, in genuine, like, like, when I think of iconic performances, like, it's up there with Christian Bale's American Psycho.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is, like,
commitment.
Like, iconic role.
She's great. Like, I think the reason, because, like, I think about when this movie came out, how everyone was like, or at least, like, a lot of people in my life were like, oh, did you see that Black Swan movie? Like, that was, like, weird, right? Like, oh, that was a weird movie. But yet everyone was watching it. And it's like, it was because, like, obviously the movie fucking carries. So, like, it makes them feel uncomfortable, but they're really, like, it's good enough. Like, it takes talent to, you know, be able to keep people who aren't the target audience captivated in, like, your performance, and she fucking did it.
Right.
Like, she's so good in this movie. So normally we would do a villain ranking, but I think we all kind of collectively decided that there's not There's not a true villain here.
Yeah.
Mental illness.
Yes.
That's the only thing I can think of a little bit.
No.
Wow, this would be the first no villain we'd have this year. That's kind of interesting.
I do think the man's a villain. Tamar. Yeah.
Tamar.
The mom's kind of a villain. She's kind of a villain.
Nina is kind of a villain.
You know who's not? Lily. She didn't do nothing wrong except for give her drugs, which is like, Nina kind of needed that.
You can't do that.
Yeah, you should.
That's what I meant when I said you can't do that.
You can't do that. So most people in this movie are villains. I don't think there's a true villain here. I think the villain is society's pressure on women.
I agree. And I think that's reflected very well in a ballet story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And like the pursuit of feminine perfection and like the rage it imbues.
Poor Nina.
I said a lot of words just now.
That was good. That was educated right there.
Yo, sometimes I listen back to our episodes and I'll say the most educated thing I've ever said.
You'd be smart sometimes.
And then you'll catch me just every other sentence.
I always think about, I don't remember who we were podcasting with, but we like watched the movie and then we had started and they were like, oh, you guys just like turn on. And I was like, what? But I don't remember who it was that said that. But I always think about that and think about like, I don't remember a fuck. I black out when we record these. I don't remember a single thing gets said. Uh-uh. I have to listen to them and I rarely do. Who's to say what comes out of these mouths?
I try and say at least one educated sentence per episode. And that's a big ask. And then when I say it, I'm really proud of myself for like the next 12 seconds before I say the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Balance. It's all about balance.
God. Meeting right in the middle.
So are we to the ratings?
Rating. Yeah.
What are we rating out of?
Ballet shoes.
Ballet slippers.
Swans.
Feathers.
Feather tattoos.
Wing tattoos. I meant to tell y'all, I don't remember what, I think it's like Scary Movie 5, one of those stupid parody movies. They spoof Black Swan.
What?
But the tattoo is chicken wings. And so, but like ever since, it's such a bad joke. Like I am not in any way applauding this joke, but like every time I see the imagery for Black Swan, I think about the fucking chicken wings. Anyways, I just had to bring up that I'm plagued by that. Nail files, lipstick.
Winona Ryder jump scares.
Iron bars or
beaks.
Beaks.
I just wanted to say, like Charlie does in that episode of It's Always Sunny.
We didn't mention. Every now and then, like, we mentioned her legs bending and stuff, but every now and then you do get flashes of, like, her turning swan-like. And one is when she, like, stabs Mila Kunis and they're fighting. Like, Mila has her, like, hand around her neck and her neck stretches out like a bird. Like, I just had a flashback to that and I was really like, whoa.
That was cool, yeah.
That was, like, traumatizing. I don't know. I'm fine with, like, ballet slippers. It's pretty specific to this movie.
Yeah.
I'll start. 10. This is one of the greatest movies of all time. In seriousness, it deserves the hype and it deserves the critical acclaim. We didn't talk about this at the beginning. Harish, you hadn't seen this movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we normally talk about that.
I had seen, like, some of the scenes on, like, TV, just randomly, but I had never seen the whole movie all the way through.
Yeah.
Perfection.
This is like an easy 10 for me. I saw this and I was completely blown away. This movie is on a list of movies that makes me want to watch more movies after.
Understand film
a little better. Yeah, it's great.
This is like the second or third time I've seen this movie, and the first time I watched it was like my junior or senior year. I remember Emily and I watched it together, and after we finished, we kind of looked at each other and we were like, that was kind of cool, right? And we were like, yeah, okay. Like, we both were just kind of like, whoa.
Yeah.
That was also one of those first signs mentally that I should have known more about myself.
Oh, yeah?
But I didn't address it at the time. But, yeah, this movie's a 10 out of 10. I love this movie. I'm aware that it's possibly a ripoff of another film. I don't really care because it fucking slaps, man. It's so good.
Yeah, I'll give it a 10 out of 10.
Hell yeah!
Let's go!
It's really good. And the ballet is really good. Mm-hmm. And it's all shot really well. Like, the whole movie looks really good. And it's all, like, a lot of it is, like, handheld and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, it also, like, feels very stressful the entire time. Yeah, it rocks. 10 out of 10. Recommendations?
I got a few.
Go for it.
Last Night in Soho. Mm. Again.
Oh, yeah.
The doubling of woman and then neon stressful dancing.
The doubling of woman. I love that.
I'm serious.
Doubling.
That's
no, no. Name. I know. I just trope. I just love that wording. I've never heard the doubling of woman. That's
whatever,
fun.
Man. I haven't seen it, but I'm going to recommend it. Climax.
I haven't seen it either, but I've always wanted
a dance horror movie. The original Suspiria movie. The only reason I can't recommend the remake is because I haven't seen it, but I know it's also about dance. But Suspiria is great.
We've seen the remake, and I don't like the remake.
I love the original.
I want to see the original really bad. Yeah. I really do, but I do not like the remake.
It is kind of a woman moment.
Oh.
Ooh.
I'm going to watch Suspiria next week.
Maybe a little. I mean,
I'm going to push for Suspiria.
I'm a little interested in it. I've been I've been really, really wanting to fucking watch it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Howl's Moving Castle because she turns into a bird. And then, the book My Year of Rest and Relaxation, because it is a book for female manipulators, but also it's a really good book. And it's, there was something we were talking about that reminded me of it, and I can't remember what it is, and I don't know why I recommended it in retrospect. Oh, I think it's something we talked about, and then the reason I wrote it down initially was because I was like, oh, it's about a woman with a, like, weird lucidity thing going on, and she's not sure, like, what's real life and what's a dream. Mm-hmm. But then also she has a really upsetting, like, codependent relationship with her best friend, and I was like, that describes a lot of the relationships that Nina has, like, with other women. Like, they're not healthy, and their boundaries are all out of whack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, in that aspect. And then there was another reason I recommended it, and I forgot.
I mean, the obvious one would be Perfect Blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's because I was having a really rough time coming up with Rex here. I know that I definitely have read and watched many things that probably relate to this, but, like, my brain is, like, having a really hard time being like, what's like this?
I haven't seen this movie, but I would recommend Whiplash. I haven't seen Whiplash.
Oh, Whiplash is a really good, that's a good movie.
Man moment.
That's the man moment. Yeah. That is a good movie.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't think of anything else.
Was that also from the year that Birdman won the Oscar?
I believe J.K. Simmons won a Oscar that year, right? For the Whiplash? I believe he did.
2014.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was the same year. Fuck off.
What a year.
It was a good year for movies.
Should we recommend Birdman?
I'll recommend Birdman even though I haven't seen it.
I would recommend. It's good. And
I'm
it's
watch
kind
it
of
love it.
Birdman is like low key like
it's similar
themes.
It's also about turning into a bird.
It's about getting old and turning into a bird.
Yeah. Or like relating too much to your character.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'd say that. I ain't got nothing else. What?
Jason Blum produced Whiplash.
Oh, wow.
Huh, that's interesting. I guess it was probably like... I'm sure that he produces stuff that's not horror sometimes. Just not Blumhouse.
Did you say Requiem for a Dream?
I've never seen that.
Did anyone say that for recommendations? Have you seen
it? No. Yeah, I've seen it.
I'm going to recommend it, but like I also don't... think it's really hard to watch.
Yeah,
that's one is very, very upsetting.
That movie,
it's a good movie.
I feel like I've missed out because I haven't seen it, but like the idea of like motivating myself to watch it, I'm just like, I just don't feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched that movie probably like 4 times when I was in a real bad spot.
Oh god,
it is horrible. Like, it's horrible.
Oof.
Don't watch it if you're in a bad place, but also don't watch it if you're in a good place because it'll make you upset.
It'll depressing.
Yeah, but he's like, I would say I know I've clowned on Darren Aronofsky for the Perfect Blue thing and then for other reasons, but like I think he's a good filmmaker.
Yeah
I like the movies he makes.
Yeah,
he does a good job, and he like taps into something so like uncomfortable and visceral in his movies, and so much of it deals with like mental illness and coping with that. in ways that aren't always grounded in realism 100%, which I think works really well for like the themes of his movies.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I love Black Swan. I think it's a great movie. I like that it's a movie about ballet. Like, I like art about art.
More movies about ballet.
Yeah, seriously though, art about art's cool. And horror art about art's even cooler. And I think everybody should watch this movie because it's really good.
Hell yeah.
Stay tuned for more woman moments.
Yeah, we didn't talk about how big of a woman moment this is. We kind of got off the woman moment topic.
It's just like the whole time you're watching this, it's the whole time you watch this film, it's you're like, oh shit, woman moment. Like,
woman moment.
It's relatable.
Way possible woman moment.
Like, oh, it hurts a little bit, but it'd be true, you know? Woman moment.
Woman moment.
But yeah, this is a good kickoff, so stay tuned for whatever we decide. There's a huge range of where we could go with woman moment.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's weird. It's like limited movies, but a huge range within the movie. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's end this.
All right.
You can follow me at Not a Credit Card and everything.
You can get me at Save Our Shaggy. That's a Scooby-Doo reference on everything.
And you can find me on Letterboxd at Midsummer Queen.
And you can follow the show at Tipsy Terror on Twitter, tipsyterrorpod@gmail.com. If you want to email us, tipsyterror.com, tipsyterror.rev, tipsyterror.wtf, tipsyterror.pub.
.pub.
And those are our links. Bye.
Bye.
Wow, he's the director of The Wrestler?
Yes.
What?